Now, one of our most listened to podcasts of last year was my conversation with a death doula, someone who spoke to me about the concept of caring for someone in their final weeks and supporting and shepherding them through the process of dying, just as a more traditional sense of a doula would do for someone going through the birthing process. And it's a subject that many people still shy away from discussing, this discussion of death. But a conference is happening in Cape Town next weekend, which is really putting it front and center and inviting all kinds of interested parties and people with curiosity around the subject to come and reflect on death and loss. Now, with me in studio is the person who's putting that event together, who I've asked to come in and chat to us about why she's doing it and who should be there. Lee Minot is the co-founder of Soulful Collective and host of the Midwifery and Dying Conference happening in Constantia next weekend. Lovely to have you with us, Lee. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Let's start with Soulful Collective. Who or what? What's that all about?
I've been a social entrepreneur my whole life, always done meaningful work. My background is in education and nonprofits. And I feel like I'm lucky to have a third life. I've done what I wanted to do in those spaces, and I can dream once again. So at this stage of my life, kind of, I guess, midlife, I really want to do work that is deeply meaningful, that connects, and that is also aligned to my sense of spirituality. That's important. So Soulful, really, to be honest, is a playpen to pay with my friends and to convene conferences like next week just to talk about topics that really feel meaningful.
Okay, it is such a meaningful topic, perhaps the most meaningful of them all, because it is something that is inevitably going to touch every single one of us.
No, it's not. What do you mean? No, it's not me.
There's the response. That's the answer to why you think we don't talk about it more, because people want to keep it at arm's length and not look at it and ruminate upon the fact that it is going to happen to us.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And yet, although it's so cliched and so corny, I really believe that engaging and talk about death is positive and life-affirming. You know, by bringing death front and center, I'm in my 40s, I hope to live a full life, but it actually helps me clarify how I want to live my life now. And so keeping it front and center, I think, is not morbid or at all. And I think it helps us to live more fully.
You're not alone in thinking that. I've also previously interviewed the folk from the Death Cafes and Mortal Mondays, who get together to host these conversations on an ongoing basis in Cape Town. But I think I guess this is the start of a wave of making it okay to talk about it in bigger and more public spaces. After so many years of it being, you don't go there, it's not something to be discussed in nice society. So, I mean, you've explained why you personally think it's important that we have these conversations and reflect deeply on this topic. Where did the idea come from to say, I want to throw this open and make a whole event around it? Talk us through the sort of process here.
Well, I think really just because I'm on a journey, this is something that's always intrigued me. I thought sort of 15 years ago to myself, you know, when I'm old and wise, I want to be the kind of person with the kind of gravitas and the kind of depth that I can hold people in that way. And I'm kind of getting on, and I'm getting older but no wiser. And I kind of think, well, I better get on with it. So I've started training. There's a remarkable woman in Cape Town called Reverend Dr. Mary Ryan, who's training a group of us called Soul Carers. I've loved learning from her. But I'm at the beginning of my journey exploring this, and I kind of thought, there are probably other people like me. Let me go find them, convene them. So really, I'm at the start of my journey wanting to meet other people who are interested in this, and it turns out they're quite a lot.
And it's a really interesting bunch from a huge diversity of backgrounds, because looking at your conference program, you've got Sean Davison, whose work as a euthanasia activist is very well known to our audience. You've got palliative care specialists. Yes. You have got people coming from a perspective of a religious background, looking at how do we discuss this within and without that framework. Tell us a little bit more about who's part of the program.
So I really feel, you know, let me just be blunt, because I'm a white woman who lives in Cape Town suburbs. You know, I could easily kind of fill the conference with white women like me who have my perspective. But it feels really important that we ground this work in the context of South Africa, where we are. And there are so many people whose daily lives are as public sector nurses or as home-based carers. So every single person who's paying to come to the conference automatically sponsors someone who can't pay. And so there's going to be this really rich diversity at the conference of people, as you said, bringing all kinds of perspectives just because of their life experience, because of their work experience, because of all these things. So some of people, just like lay people like me, we've got nurses, we've got carers, we've got a lot of psychologists, we've got doctors, we've got a woman who's taking early retirement because her husband is terminally ill and she knows she's going to have to care for him. We've got got two sisters whose mothers died quite recently, and it didn't go well. And they said me with a sense of lack of closure and wish they had been more prepared, you know. So many people are coming at this from so many different angles, and I think it's going to, and then to locate this work, which internationally being a death doula, for example, is quite well defined. It's amorphous here. But to locate this work in South Africa, and what does this work mean here, whether you want to be professional as a death doula or whether you just want to engage with the topic or support your family better?
I love the inclusion of that sense of the questioning around how do I get ready for this. I'm also in my mid-40s. I'm starting to be confronted by the reality of friends who are not going to live a long life, one or two have been lost in the last year or two. You suddenly are up at the coalface, confronted with the reality of what do you do, what do you say, how do you support somebody in this phase. Many of us are facing that with our own parents as they age and would love to have a sense of feeling better prepared for that new role that we'll take on as we step up into that space. So I think it's hugely encouraging that kind of participation has also been included here. Interestingly, we're not only talking here about end of life at the end of an elderly person's journey and perhaps an expected aging and death after a long life. You've also made space to talk about shocking, unexpected death, about stillbirths and miscarriages, which again, I think is such an incredibly important conversation to be having, because another thing we don't like to talk about. People don't like to confront the thought that a pregnancy doesn't always end with a beautiful, healthy, happy baby at the end of it. And I think for many moms and dads, but women in particular, we do them a huge injustice in not creating that space to be allowed to grieve as they would for the loss of a child at any other phase of life.
Exactly. So the poet Malika Ndlovu, whose daughter was stillborn over 10 years ago now, wrote a whole book about this called Invisible Still. I mean, just the title is so beautiful. But this invisibleness that she lives with 10 years later and that she has transformed through poetry. Michelle Mehring, the CEO of PeedPal, is coming, you know, and as she writes so beautifully about what she's going to share, you know, this shouldn't happen. Children should not die. Full stop. So when it does happen, we are so ill-prepared to deal with it. It's a kind of every parent's worst nightmare. Yeah. And if it happens to our friends, as it has happened to friends of mine, you know, how do you support? So having had very personal experience, not in my own life, but very close to me, it's a topic we have to engage in. There's yet another group of people who call themselves now bereavement doulas. I mean, such important work, who specialize in that. And a lot of them are coming to the conference too. I feel, again, from personal experience, very strongly about including this.
I want to just throw this out to our audience, because I'm mindful of the fact that probably listening right now to this conversation are parents who lost a child, whether it was through stillbirth, through miscarriage, through illness, whatever the circumstances may be. If you would like to perhaps reflect on how society was able to support you or not through that process, did you feel very alone as you came to terms or struggled to come to terms with what you had faced? Did you feel that people didn't know what to say and because of that sometimes stayed away and disengaged purely because they didn't know how to hold your pain for you? I'd be really interested to hear your reflections on, do you think there is value in having this kind of conversation that says, these are the challenges we face, these are ways of helping, these are ways of holding people in a gentle space to let them work through the grieving process as they need to do. If you would like to weigh in on that aspect of the conversation or respond to anything you've heard so far today, a reminder that you're welcome to call us on 021-446-0567 or to send an SMS to 31567. You've mentioned a couple of fascinating names there among your speakers. Michelle Mehring's been on the show several times talking about her work in palliative care through PeedsPal. The home-based worker, home-based care worker, I think such an important part of this conversation. So let's elaborate a little bit more about who's coming and who is going to be speaking and running workshops at the conference from that perspective.
So one of the persons, I got a sneak preview of his talk the other day, is a man called Sonwabo Jacobs. He used to be on the spiritual care team at St. Luke's Hospice, and he came to, like I say, give us a sneak preview, speaking fascinatingly about how he grew up in the Eastern Cape in a very African traditional context. He then came to Cape Town and became converted and actually ended up becoming a pastor. Then he ended up going into spiritual care work, and how he had to juggle these things, how in his culture you know, being ill is a stigma, especially if you're a man. You know, so even as a man going to talk to a man who was probably dying, if the man was very old, he had to take an older man. And then the challenges of how Christians would look down on him or say, you've lost the faith. If he engaged African traditional practices in helping this person engage with their dying, and he opens up a whole new, there is so much wisdom in our country in the way that, you know, so just for all of us, you know, people like me, for example, to get to understand that aspect of it. So Sonwabo, I'm very excited, is going to share with us his experience, particularly working in Guguletu, Nyanga, you know, and what we need to be sensitive to in our context, and how, just fascinating that the Christian African identity. We've got a pioneer globally, a Felicity Warner, who's been doing this work for 20 years. And she calls her approach soul midwifery. It's a term I love. Mm-hmm. Or also gentle dying, which is another term I love. And she trains people. Like, this is the gold standard, really, in this field. And so Felicity is going to be calling in. She's calling her talk Where Angels Fear to Tread, mm-hmm. about her experience of pioneering this. She's kind of 20 years ahead of where we are, but we don't want to only, and with respect to Felicity knows this, just import her model. You know, how do we again contextualize it?
Yeah,
so
exactly, yeah.
Those are some of the things that we're going to be engaging with.
So I think important, I mean, you've touched here, Sonwabo, coming from a very interesting perspective of a blend of traditions and faith approaches here. What about somebody who has no faith, who comes to an event like this with no religious beliefs about what happens, who just thinks death's the end, and that's where it ends. Is there space for someone like that to be part of this conference?
I think of spirituality in these questions very broadly. It's a kind of about completion and meaning, really. Mm-hmm. So when we're dying, we're really confronted with the things. What is the meaning of my life? What do I need to complete? What regrets do I have? That I call those spiritual issues. Someone might not call them spiritual, but atheists, you know, all of us, even if you think you have strong faith all your life, it might suddenly fail you when you get a terminal diagnosis. You know, we can't just assume because someone's faith background how they're going to engage with this. And I think all of us have a sort of an existential crisis or really have to reflect deeply if when death comes up, either in our own bodies or around us. Mm. So I don't think faith is a factor, but I don't think it's exclusionary.
Okay. Before I run out of time, let's talk a little bit about some of the important sort of details here. I mentioned that this event is happening next week. It's Friday the 7th and Saturday the 8th of February. What's the venue?
The venue is a beautiful retreat center in Constantia. Because we're talking about, you know, soulful things and tough things, I thought it was important to have a bit of green. So in the heart of Cape Town is a beautiful retreat center called Schoenstatt. And it's still central and accessible, but that's where it will be, at Schoenstatt Retreat Center in Constantia.
Okay. Now, you touched on the lovely thing I think you've done with the funding model for this conference, the fact that if you buy a ticket, included in that price is a full sponsorship for someone else who wouldn't be able to attend without that assistance. So the cost of those tickets, including that sponsorship, is how much?
It's still very reasonable, 2,200 Rand for a 2-day conference.
Okay. If someone is listening going, I'm sort of on the borderline, I can't quite afford 2,200 Rand, and with all due respect, I can just afford to fund myself for this event but not someone else, is that something you're open to discussing?
Absolutely. My inbox is full of those, and I'm engaging with everybody.
Okay. So let's just emphasize again, there is a bit of a timeline here because I know registration is actually ending at the end of this week.
It closes tomorrow night.
Okay. So apologies that we're only getting to this conversation on such a tight timeline. Lee contacted me in December and the days just ran away from us, I'm afraid. So 31 January is the cutoff date for registration if you would like to be at the conference. And which is the best way to register? Facebook website? Where
website
would you like our listeners to go?
Soulful with two L's .co.za, and then click on Soulful Spaces and you'll see the link to the conference. So soulful.co.za, two L's, and then look for Soulful Spaces.
And again, so if you feel that you cannot afford the full amount of the 2,200 Rand, please do engage with Lee and see if a plan can be made. And you're also offering a special sort of package deal to NGOs, aren't
you? Absolutely. Two for the price of one for NGOs.
Okay. So again, 31 January is your cutoff date. The website you want to start from is soulful with two L's on the full, soulful.co.za, as in soulful, not soul empty, if you catch my drift. Okay. We've got a minute or two left just to expand a bit on some more of the speakers, including an interesting question from Neil on our WhatsApp line. And I don't know if he's asking this genuinely or tongue-in-cheek, but he's asking, will there be an undertaker at the event?
Yes.
Are there going to be people involved in the funeral industry?
Yes, okay. And very progressive, enlightened ones, if I say so myself. Like, okay. Very interesting people are coming.
I'm so glad to hear that. It makes a lot of sense that the people who are going to be such a fundamental part of the ceremony, the sending off at the end, should be part of the conversations about really thinking about the bigger significance of the process that led them there. Is it about sort of heightening empathy, sensitivity to what might be walking through their front door, the thoughts and the pain that families are dealing with as they come to them?
Yes, I mean, you can imagine how much they hold. So the conference is very much focused on the emotional and spiritual aspects of death and dying, not the biomedical things.
Yeah.
So, and that's what funeral directors are dealing with all the time and may well feel ill-equipped to.
Okay. Speaking of the biomedical aspects, I do just want to say, because it strikes me that it is a related topic, on our health and wellness segment tomorrow, I'm actually going to be talking to a neurologist about pain control and the role of cannabis in pain control. I know it's something that a lot of people have got a lot of interest in from a medical perspective. So I just wanted to flag that conversation is happening tomorrow at 2 o'clock if you would like to engage with that medical aspect. But again, it's the bigger emotional, spiritual picture that is the focus of the midwifery and dying conference, which is happening in Cape Town in Constantia next week, Friday and Saturday, the 7th and 8th of February. My guest in studio is Lee Minot. He is the co-founder of Soulful Collective and organizer of this conference. I'm so glad we were able to find some time to get you into studio. Apologies that it was so close to the deadline for registration, but Lee, I hope you are going to have Cape Talk listeners signing up for the remainder of today and tomorrow and joining the event.
Thank you so much for allowing me to engage in this conversation, which I think is so important.